Today, I continue the discussion of renormalization from the point of view of Wilson, namely going from short distance to long distance. And I will do present you calculations, which are basically the one in my notes, but I hope to go a bit further and deeper this year because I have a bit more time, and discuss the connection between the Wilsonian renormalization group, quantum field theory, and what we did in the previous lecture, namely standard renormalization theory in the framework of perturbation theory. So, first, renormalization from the point of view of Wilson. So, remember what we did. I started from a theory on a, with a cutoff, so, for instance, a theory on a lattice. That violet regulator, which in the case of statistical mechanics corresponds to the lattice, or the, so it's physical. So let's call it k. So I had my momentum k, which are less lambda, or I had a mesh, which is such that lambda is pi divided by a. And I had a model of statistical mechanics, or some functional integral, where I had an action a of phi. So phi was a field defined on a lattice, on the site of the lattice. And I have a microscopic action. And so the partition function is something like integral product. So e phi I times exponential minus a phi. And I perform what's called block transformation, or renormalization transformation, where first I make blocks, so I integrate over situation of phi inside a block. The block is defined in a loose sense. And doing that, I go from A of phi to an A effective of phi effective, or it was called phi tilde. I called it phi tilde, where phi tilde is an average field variable. And that's a complicated calculation that we didn't do. And of course, I have this on a lattice, which is bigger. Now I'm on a lattice with mesh of cutoff so lambda prime is lambda divided by some block size. And if you prefer, A prime is A times B, the size of the block. Okay. And second step, we rescale distances in order to get back to the original theory. So I rescale x's into x for x divided by b. So for the momenta k prime are k for k prime times b. And I rescale the field. That's important. Phi tilde to phi prime, phi normalized. So that I get a renormalized action. Okay. And the property of this is that you have a relation, because since we have integrated over the distances, the fluctuation, we have a relation between the correlation function, so the physics of the model with the renormalized action and the physics of the model with bare action. Now, the idea is you iterate this so that you go from some original A to A prime up to some A S, some renormalized action of S, where S is a e to the power n. I iterate n times. So S is a rescaling factor. Okay. Starting from a field phi, I get a field phi S, which was denoted, how is it noted? But remember, yes, so phi s of x. So I have some new distance xs, which is x divided by s. So I rescale the distances. Phi s so phi s of xs is phi. Roughly speaking, times a renormalization factor. Renormalization factor. And I have an action AS. And the main property is that the correlation function of the field. Why is it written here? I didn't put it exactly in this way. But the correlation function of xs, so phi of x1s, phi of x2s, and of course you may have more than two particles computed with the renormalized action. Well, computed with the original action is z of s to the power minus, so in this case it's two because we have two fields, times the correlation function, the two-point correlation function of the theory computed with the renormalized action AS. Simply because we are making, we start from a big lattice here. These points at a distance S. And by this renormalization procedure and with an action A, we end up with a smaller lattice with a distance 1, for instance, with the action AS. Okay, so we have this relation. Is it clear? Okay. So, this was the principle, first step, second step. And so this iteration defines a mapping in the space of series. So mapping in the space of actions A. And since I argue that the action can be written as sum over the sides of the lattice, and then sum over operators of O, some couplings that I call kappa alpha, O alpha of the field phi at a point phi, and the discrete derivative of phi at the side I, etc. Then it defines a mapping in the space, so parameters. So the
sets of kappa alphas, which characterize the action, are mapped into some kappa alpha of S. Kappas are just coordinates in the space of
series.
Okay. Kappas are the coupling or parameters. And these are the local operators. Okay. And in fact, when doing those transformations, it's often convenient and justified that since we are repeating many, many times the mapping, that to treat the mapping as if S is continuous, and so if the scaling factor is continuous instead of being discrete. Okay. So, and that's what I'm going to do. So in fact, we can treat S as continuous parameter. It's both more convenient, but also justified in many cases. Okay. So of course, well, what's happening to describe the large distance properties of the series according to this equation is to need to know how the flows, so this mapping or this flow, behaves in the when S becomes large. So we and what, so in that case, S is a continuous parameter, so this mapping becomes a flow. Okay, and since the flow, you see, if you are here, you flow from here to here, and you don't really, you know, depends on whether you came from here, or from here, or from here. So it's a local flow. So it's expected that if S is a continuous parameter, it can be written as a flow generated by a vector field, which is a vector field which is going to be, tells you when you are here, in which direction you flow. So it's a very crude distribution, but we expect that this flow, this renormalization group flow, is generated by a vector field. So everywhere here, you have in the space of coupling, you have vectors. Okay, and the renormalization group flow tells you simply you follow the field. Okay. So in well, often in the literature and in my notes. This vector field is called, let me call it W. So W is a vector whose component have W alpha, because we are in the space of coupling, couplings. Okay. And of course, this tangent vector, this depends on where you are. So in fact, they're functions of the kappa, of all the kappa in general. So you have this for all the alpha, and it depends on all the kappa, not only on one kappa. And so this is a flow, so this is a vector, and the W is using it for Wilson. And integrating the flow means that if you want to show, so along the flow is characterized by some, the flow is characterized by some kappa of S, which is the data of all the kappa alpha of S, as S increases. So this is the point kappa of S1, S2, S3. This is S1, S2, S3. And since it's a flow equation, it's simply that this flow is described by the equation SD over DS of kappa alpha of S. I take the logarithmic because when you iterate by powers of S equal W alpha
of the kappa of all the kappa of S. So if you know the flow, you integrate this differential flow equation, and you know where you are going.
So is W defined by that equation, or is W something independent?
You can take to be W defined by this equation. Because if you make this calculation, you see, if you are able to compute this, everything is contained. So it's just a way to recast what is given here. So if you are somewhere here, you do a little step in S, and you define the value. Okay, so this that's an equivalent formulation. So knowing the W's is equivalent to know the mapping from A to AS. So it's I one or R. You just assume that it's local. Okay, so this is just some very general formalism. So now I want to show you how this works on a simple example. Important example. And which is the following. I'm going to consider a state of theory whose action is of the form integral 1/2 of du phi squared plus some general polynomial of phi. General function, if you want. Well, regular enough, but general function. So you see, it's a generalization of the phi 4 theory. I'm allowing more general. Okay. So I keep this term for the kinetic term. Okay. So Hamiltonian of this form are often called Landau, Ginzburg, Wilson. Wilson actions or Hamiltonians. Okay, phi is still just a scalar field. Phi is a scalar field. Okay, and then I'm going to use as a cutoff, so that's the first. As a regulator, I'm going to use this momentum shell cutoff. Shell regulator. So instead of dealing with phi of x, I go by Fourier transform. I consider the Fourier transform phi hat of k. And I'm considering that this is defined only for momentum less than the cutoff, lambda. So my momentum space is just a ball of momentum lambda. I forget about what's going on here. So all the momenta are here. Okay, and I'm defining the theory in a general dimension D. And I'm again Euclidean, so Euclidean space D is the dimension of space. Okay, and I will present you a calculation along those lines, doing an approximation So I'm going to present a renormalization group calculation. Using what is called the local potential approximation, or LPA. It's an approximation which is important in statistical mechanics. So the local potential, this is a local potential. So this local potential approximation, in fact, amounts to two things. It amounts to keep considering just actions of this form. And so first action of this form, given by potential V of lambda, which is the local potential. So if we know the local potential, we know the action. So we neglect higher derivative terms, for instance. And in addition, I'm going to do a one loop calculation. Okay. So let me explain how this works. Okay, let me go there. So this is the framework, the space of action we are considering. And now I have to define which procedure, renormalization group procedure, I will use. And that's something we discussed yesterday. As a renormalization transformation, renormalization. Transformation, I'm going to integrate just over the momenta k between lambda and lambda divided by b, where b is my scaling factor. So I start with momenta defined in a ball of size lambda. And I define I momentum shell. This is lambda divided by b. And I integrate over this. Okay. So in other words, and that's the standard notation, I separate the field in which I integrate in the path integral into a high common, a slow mode. A fast mode, where this is defined inside shell, and this is defined in the shell between lambda and lambda divided by b. Okay. So here goes leaves here. Okay. And that level is a bit formal. I defined the effective action for the slow modes as the integral only in the fast mode of exponential of minus the action for the full phi, which is phi slow plus phi fast. Okay. So this is how we perform calculation. Okay, so how can we do this calculation? Well, that's the hard part. Yes?
Just a check. So phi slow.
Yes.
Is zero in the inside the shell?
Yes. Inside the, it's inside the, this is a shell and the shell border this.
So phi of k is at any time, at any momentum, only one of those.
Yes, of course, yeah. And then you take the Fourier transform back, the inverse Fourier transform to define what are slow and phi fast. And so you see, so phi slow is defined for momenta k less than lambda divided by b. So we have changed the cutoff. We have integrated. That's equivalent to going from a lattice with a fine mesh to a lattice with a larger mesh. Okay. That's something standard, which has been, this kind of things has been discussed by Wilson in his first paper. It's something very standard. Okay. So I'm going to show, well, to use this approximation, to show that one can, in this approximation, compute the effective action simply. Otherwise, it's a very complicated calculation. I'm going to use the following argument. Well, the details are here, but basically, you see, let's think about how we compute the effective action at one loop for the theory. Remember, we start from a theory which has an action, A of gamma. We compute the path integral. And we get an effective action for the background field, which is the original action for the background field, plus 1/2 trace log of the Hessian of the classical action, so the second derivative of the, which in this case is just the operator minus Laplace operator plus the second derivative of the field. Okay? And of course, that's something which is very, you know, complicated to compute. Because this is an operator. That's a differential operator. Because it maps any function into this function multiplied by the function second derivative of phi minus the Laplacian of the function of phi. It's a differential operator acting on functions. So it's a differential operator, but of course, when you take its log, it's not a differential operator anymore. It's a much more complicated operator. But you may think about what it is by stating simply that this is, you can write this trace log as integral over dx, and you take the diagonal element of the log of this operator. So this operator has a kernel, This is, if you have x and y, this is the kernel of this operator, and you take the diagonal element of the kernel of this operator. And in general, this operator is complicated. This kernel, let's say, this kernel is complicated because phi of x depends on x. It's not a constant function. Okay. But now, so up to now, we have made just the approximation that keeping only the one loop term. So that's approximation one. Now, in this approximation, I'm going to perform a local approximation. So I'm going to treat in this expression here, treat phi as if it was a constant function which is the value of phi at x. So I integrate over x here, and I have a global operator, and I replace for each term in x the operator where I take the constant function, which is second derivative of v taken at the value phi of x. So I replace this by integral d dx x log of minus delta plus second derivative of phi taken at the point x. X. So now this is a constant. Now this is a number. Okay?
Sorry.
Yes?
I don't think I understand what this bra and cat's
why?
Position. What this bra and cat eigenstate at position x means, since we discussed it.
You mean you don't understand the approximation I'm doing, or you don't understand the general?
The step from the trace to the projection on the bra and cat's x.
It's just a definition of the trace.
But
replace this by a general operator O.
But in the general theory, like we're doing, do we not have eigenstates at position x?
No, we have eigenstate of position, but this operator cannot be diagonalized in the eigenstate of positions. This is exact. Well, going from this to this is exact. I'm just rewriting the trace of an operator as a sum over its diagonal element in the basis of position eigenstates. No? It's not clear? You don't understand this step?
Or do you? Yes.
You do?
I don't.
You don't. Okay. So that's
usually position eigenstates. Yes.
Assume that you have a general operator that I'm calling O acting on functions, and let me call that psi of the position. So it means that O acting on psi, that's a new function, it's a new function O of x, can be written as integral dy, O of x, y, psi of y, because it's a linear operator. Okay, so this is just called the kernel of O, if it's a trace class operator, linear trace class. Class operator. Okay, so O of xy is just the matrix element between x and y of O. So O of xy, I can rewrite this as the matrix element of the operator O between, taken between two eigenstates. Okay, that's just another notation for the same object.
Okay.
And that's just notation we use every day in quantum mechanics, when you use bra and kets. It's a standard bra ket iteration of quantum mechanics that I'm using. Okay, so now if you want to compute the trace of this operator, you know that it's just the sum of the diagonal element. So in this representation, so this is just a basis, the operator represented in a special basis. It's just the sum of the diagonal element, and we are using the basis xy. So if we use the factor, the basis of the space of functions on which the operator acts, and that we have 1 equal integral dx x, then this is integral dx of x ox. Okay. This is just definition of the trace. Okay. So I'm just using this. I was probably a bit fast. Okay. So here I'm considering an operator, which is a log of a differential operator. So it's something complicated. But remember here, V, so V of phi is just a polynomial. So for instance, it's something like it's, let's call it, kappa 2 t2, I'm sorry, kappa 2 phi 2, plus kappa 4 phi 4, plus kappa 6 phi 6, etc. So vw prime, well, let me put, well, no, well, let me put 2, 4, 6 to be normalized in a consistent way. So v double prime of phi means just another polynomial, which is kappa 2 plus kappa 4 divided by 2 pi squared plus kappa 6 divided by factor 4 pi to the 4 of this. So it's just a polynomial in phi. And I take the value of this polynomial for phi at the point evaluated at the point x. Okay. Okay. So now this is a number. So, if this is a number, this is a differential operator, which is an invariant by translation. So we know it's eigen functions. The eigenfunction of this operator are just plane waves. Minus delta plus vw of phi at some points x0. Let me keep it the x0 is fixed. If I apply this operator to eikx, a plane wave, the function of x, and here x0 is fixed, it's just a number. This is, of course, k squared plus v double prime of phi of x0 times e I k x. So this is the state. And this is the eigenvalue. Okay. So we have diagonalized this operator. Therefore, we have diagonalized its log because its eigenvalues are the same, its eigenstate are the same, and its eigenvalues are just the logs of the eigenvalues. You see? Okay. And therefore, this object, this here, this is just, we have to integrate over x. Well, x is the x0 here, so if you prefer, x0 here, yeah, x0. And for each x0, we have to take the matrix element of this operator. And this is simply, then, we have to take x times k. We can diagonalize it. We can write this as, if I'm not mistaken, integral dk divided by 2 pi d xk. The eigenvalue associated to k, which is log of minus k squared plus the value of pi x naught times k times k times x, and we can and if I am not mistaken, we can get rid of this because it gives a delta function. So we end up with this. We integrate over all point x0, and then we integrate over all the momenta, and we sum over the eigenvalues, which are log of minus k, well, plus k squared, of course. I'm sorry, this is k squared, plus a number, which depends on x0. Okay. So this is the general form for the one-loop effective action for this action. Now we have to remember that we are using a cutoff here. So of course, this integral doesn't have to be performed on all k, but on all k whose value is less than lambda. Okay? And then this integral is finite. It's a regulator. Okay. So, this suggests a solution. I'm not going to give all the detail because there are some, this has to be justified, but this suggests what is A effective when we integrate only on those momenta. The idea is integrating over the fast mode amounts to compute the integral inside the shell. Here, instead of here, amounts to integrate over between lambda and lambda divided by b. Yes?
Just to go back to that expression for the top of the board, what you roped out something that was just the inner product of x and k.
Yes.
Was there? So was that x or x naught?
No, it's x. It's the eigenstate.
So
x naught is fixed, and I have an operator acting. So these are states, and x naught is just a variable.
So it was an x, and then it became a delta function, and now it's x. But
yeah.
But you didn't.
Well, when you work out everything, you get this. Yeah. You just have to be a bit careful. But if you are a bit careful, you get this. Okay. Okay, so these arguments are just to show you that finally, you see, when you integrate, instead of taking into account all the modes here, you take into account in the trace the modes which are between k and k lambda, and lambda divided by b. Okay? And then it means that in the effective action, the contribution of the fluctuation here is given this by this integral. Therefore, the result of the argument is quite simple. I just give it. I don't give. That A effective of phi slow is just the original action A of phi slow plus 1/2 the contribution in this trace of just integrating over the fast fluctuation, which is going to be integral dd x0 integrate over ddk divided by 2 pi to the power d, but I integrate over the momenta between lambda and lambda divided by b times log of k squared plus the polynomial double derivative of the potential taken at phi slow of x naught. See? So that's the result. And you see, these new terms that come from the fluctuation, it's an integral over x0 of something that depends only on phi slow of x0. So it's a function of phi slow. This big object here, this is independently for each x0. Okay, so we have added to the local potential V in the origin action a bit of another function of phi slow. Yes?
Sorry, I don't understand the relationship between the gamma, this effective action, and the A effective.
In fact, the real argument, you're right to raise that, but I was trying to get a bit fast, so what's important is the result. The question is that now, if you want really to be, this is physical. That's something that gives you. So what you should do is that the question you should ask is, if I start with an action with a cutoff lambda, you see, and a potential here, so if I start with a cutoff regulator lambda, an action A, the action is given by the potential V, fine. And you should ask, if now I change the potential by lambda prime equal lambda divided by B, can I found a potential V effective where here I compute the trace with a cutoff lambda, because when I compute the trace with this approximation, I integrate over the momenta less than lambda. Here I'm going to get a gamma. Here I get this gamma. Here I get this gamma effective. But if going from there to there, amounts to just integrating the effective, the fast mode, this should be equal to this. You see, because the effective action is obtained by integrating all the modes, the fast and the slow. So, well, this effective action, gamma. So the renormalized action here is obtained by integrating just the fast. But now if you repeat the operation and integrate first the fast, and you get this, and then you integrate the slow, at the end you have integrated both the fast and the slow, so you should get the same physical effective action. And this defines an equation for the relation between G effective and V that I'm going to slow, okay? And you get this equation. So I've been a bit fast, but that's the argument.
Is this in the notes?
Huh?
Is this in the notes?
That's?
Is this in the notes?
This is?
This description in the notes.
Yes. Okay. So we end up with the fact that the effective action phi slow is of the form integral dx, 1/2 of d mu phi squared slow, plus first the original v of phi slow, plus this correction, 1/2 integral ddk over k over 2 pi squared, in the shell momentum k between lambda and lambda divided by v, log of k squared plus p double prime of phi slow x naught of x. Here it's 6, here it's 5x. It's phi slow of x, it's phi slow of x. And this is a new the effective of phi slow. So the V effective is the original V plus a correction. Okay. So this calculation, we made some approximation, and with this approximation, we know explicitly what is the new effective action compared to the original one. So what is the V effective as compared to the V? Okay? Yes?
Where did the integral over dx naught?
Huh?
Where did the integral over dx naught go?
The integral over dx naught here is in front of everything. Because the x naught has been absorbed. Yes. So you see, in this renormalization group calculation, within this local potential approximation scheme, it's only the potential which is renormalized. Okay. Okay. So this is a bit, that's the detail of the calculation. So you see, you have to do it. Okay. So this is the first step. But remember, all what we have done here is perform the first step, integrating over the fast mode. So this is the result of integrating over the fast modes. We get from a theory with V phi to a V effective of phi slow. But this theory now, instead of having a cutoff lambda, as a cutoff lambda divided by b. So if we want to compare it to the original theory, we have to perform our second or third step, which is now we must rescale the distances and the field. So we must rescale that the distances are x prime is x divided by b, and therefore the momenta has to be rescaled to k prime equal k times b. And we defined a new field, phi prime, of x prime as being 5x, being phi slope of x. This is a renormalized field. Well, I should put perhaps an because it's not the derivative of this phi. But if we make just this change of variables, you see immediately that the one half is changed into something else because there is a factor b. So in order to keep this term of the same form, you must perform the rescaling of the field that phi renormalized is b to the power delta, with delta is d minus 2 divided by 2 is the dimension of the field. This is required in order to keep the kinetic term of the same form. So that's why rescaling some field is different. Yes?
Was it the approximation in that step that protected this from getting corrections from the
higher?
Or?
Yes. When I did this approximation, replacing V of phi by V of phi at the given point. In fact, I have implicitly neglected. Term in nabla phi squared. Well, phi slow, but also nabla squared phi slow squared, nabla phi slow to the power 4. Etc., which potentially appears. So it's a non-trivial approximation. It's a bit of cheating. But there are regimes where this is justified. You can argue that for many cases, those new terms are not very important, so you can neglect them. But there are schemes where people have computed corrections. People know how to compute, use this kind of argument, but take into account those terms. It becomes very, very technical. Okay, so we must rescale the distances and the field according to this. And if we perform this rescaling, and of course, if we want to define now a renormalized action as a function of the renormalized field by simply stating that it is the effective action of the slow modes, because we have just made a scaling, this is going to, you must make this change of variable also in V and here, because you change. So this is going to change
V effective into V renormalized. And it's not just a change of variable. It's a bit more complicated because you change the function inside. So it's an exercise to compute, to do the calculation. Well, basically, you must write that V, in fact, you must write that V renormalized of phi renormalized is B to the power dimension, V effective of B minus delta phi phi, the slope, in order to be consistent. And okay. And so the final result is a bit more complicated than the relation between V effective and V slow, but I'm just going to write it. And I'm going to write it, the final result, for a thin momentum shell. So I'm assuming that B is 1 minus delta, some delta, well, some small s. Let me call this a little s, where little s is small, positive but small. So it's an infinitesimal momentum shell. Because then the calculation becomes simpler. Just this momentum shell. This is lambda, but the width of the momentum shell is just lambda times s, where s is small. In that case, of course, everything becomes simpler because this integral over k becomes log of, you can replace k squared by lambda squared, and you replace the integral by the volume of the sphere. So everything becomes simpler. You just have to take into account the area. Of the sphere. And so, if you do this, you just have to use a formula, a useful formula, which is the volume of the sphere in D dimension. And then you end up with this formula. I hope you see it, yeah? Which is that V renormalized of phi renormalized is V of phi renormalized plus this little s times variation, and the variation is d times d of phi renormalized. Well, this is not a function also. This is just a function, it's a polynomial or something like that. Okay. Minus the scaling dimension of the field. So minus d minus 2 divided by 2 times phi renormalized times the derivative with respect to phi renormalized. So v, let's call it v prime. Of phi renormalized. Okay. These two terms just come from the change, this change of variable inside the classical term. So they are not unexpected. What's important is the contribution of this term. And the contribution of this term is some number, let me call it A, which is a function of the dimension, which is related to the area of the sphere, times the contribution of this term in the thin shell, which of course reduces to log of lambda squared plus the second derivative of the potential taken at phi renormalized. So that's the final result of the calculation I've been showing. So this is a term that comes from just dimensional analysis. And this comes from the integration over the phi fast mode. So all the physics in this term. And you see that the physics here is nonlinear in the potential. Okay. So I have 20 minutes left. So now let me show. So this formula is an infinitesimal formula for the flow, and now you can iterate. You can iterate. It's an infinitesimal shell, so you can iterate. Iterate. And if you iterate this, you go from a rescaling factor, which is 1 minus s, little s, to a rescaling factor, which is s. So iterate to rescaling factor s, which is b is s one plus s because it has to be larger than s. Just made a sign error. Okay, so rescaling s, which is over the one. But of course, then this little s is just a logarithmic derivative of s. So you can rewrite this, and you get that if you start from an initial potential v phi, you get to a renormalized potential v of phi, which is a function of s. Renormalized local potential. And this renormalized local potential is just this equation becomes now, this is a variation, so everything is contained in the variation of, and the variation of Vs when you vary the scaling factor is given by this term, this second term. So it becomes S. So now, of course, this becomes a derivative with respect to the log of the scaling factor of Vs of phi equal d Vs of phi minus d minus 2 divided by 2 phi d over ds d phi of Vs of phi plus this number a times the logarithm of, you are going to have the cutoff plus the second derivative of the potential, and I can normalize the cutoff to 1 so that it's a constant. So I can, 1 plus the second derivative with respect to phi of Vs of phi. Okay, so I normalize lambda to be equal to 1, it's just for convenience. And well, I can write the factor A of D if you are interested. A is just
4 pi to the power d divided by 2 times gamma of d by 2, that's a gamma function, to the power minus 1. So that's Euler gamma function. Some function of the dimension. Okay. Yes?
Does now the field phi also have dependence on us?
No, no. This is an equation. This is a flow equation on the function Vs. So you start from a function Vs. And this is, you start from a function v, and you get a function vs, and this is how the function depends on s. And this is, so the, in fact, v is a function of s and phi. And this tells you how the function depends on s. And so this is a non-linear, so this is a flow equation which is linear in log s. But non-linear in phi. So you start from a potential, and you are going to end up with, I don't know, another potential as a function of phi. And that's what we are going to study. But this is a compact equation. So it's a nonlinear partial differential equation which defines a flow in the space of potential. Yes?
Well, that is the cutoff, right? There in the logarithm.
Yeah?
How did you take it out?
How did I took what? What?
Yeah, in there you have the log of the cutoff square, right?
Yes.
And there.
Here I have the log. Oh, I just normalize.
Yeah, I didn't see it.
I'm sorry. It's just a normalization, convenient normalization.
Okay.
If you have a lambda, you can always rescale v and phi in order to set it to 1. Mm-hmm. So it's just a normalization of. I choose my unit of momenta such that the cutoff is 1. I'm allowed to do that.
So the cutoff is fixed.
Well, from the beginning, the cutoff is fixed because in this renormalization, Wilsonian renormalization group scheme, you have a given cutoff, then you integrate, and then you rescale in order to get back to the same cutoff. So at each step, you deal with the theory with always the same cutoff. So you can choose it to be whatever you like. Okay.
So it's not important.
What?
It's not important to this renormalization scheme that you can take lambda to infinity at the end.
No, I'm in Wilson. Framework. So lambda is fixed. I'm going to show, well, maybe not today because that's going to be a bit too long, but on Thursday I'm going to show the connection. So again, at each step, lambda is fixed. So I'm comparing theories with always the same regulator. Okay, so we have this general equation, which is just basically the same equation as the one I wrote on the blackboard to the right. But now I'm considering that I have a big space of potential of these functions, and I'm at flows in this space of potential. Okay. So now let's apply this. It's a very general equation, so it can be used for many problems in physics. It's going to be used for, it's very useful for studying Ising model or renormalization group
flow for condensed matter. It's also used in other frameworks, for instance, the study of wetting of a solid by water or things like that. So it's a very general equation. It's used in high energy physics too. Okay, so let me give an application, but an important application. I consider the 5-4 theory we discussed. So I consider potential V of phi, which contains a phi squared term, a phi 4 term. And in order to see the interest of the method, let's us introduce an additional phi to the 6 term.
Yes? What brings you from curve to curve in a space of Vs, different phis?
No. This is just a point
yeah.
in the space of curve. And this is the S flow.
Okay, but what makes you be on a different curve?
I start from different Vs.
Okay.
And some Vs can be connected by random position group transformation, and some cannot. Because S is just it's a one-dimensional parameter. So, and this is a infinite dimensional. So if you want, you have a section which is of co-dimension one. You'll see in the example. Okay, so I take a potential, which is this Landau-Ginzburg. So I take a phi square, a mass term, a phi 4 term, and a term which we have not taken into account, phi 6. Okay, so in my notes, and that's because it goes back to notes I used for a course in statistical mechanics, I'm not going to call this a mass, but T. I'm still going to call this the coupling constant of phi 4, and then I have an additional coupling constant I'm calling H, which might be not, it's not an external magnetic field. Okay, 6. So I have 3 parameters. One plays a role of mass squared, one is the coupling of phi 4, and one is another coupling. Okay. So this corresponds to a vertex. So you have a vertex like that in my theory, and a vertex like that. It's T, G, and H. Okay. Okay. So of course, V prime is just phi V prime is V over D phi of V is just T phi, well, T phi squared plus G over factorial 3 phi 4 plus H over factorial 5 phi 6, and V double prime of phi, so D squared or D phi squared of V is T plus G over 2 phi squared plus h over factorial 4, phi to the 4. And therefore, this log 1 plus d2 d phi squared, you can expand it in phi. You are going to have log of 1 plus t, a constant. So you are going to have something plus something times phi squared plus something times phi to the 4. But since you expand here, it's going to be an infinite series of phi. So you see that even in this scheme, you cannot stop at 1 degree. This is going to generate higher order term. So we are going to make an additional approximation. We are going to truncate here. We neglect the higher order terms. Okay, so that's an additional approximation. But you can study that in Wool generality. Okay. And when you obtain that, you see.
Sorry.
Yes?
Neglecting the higher order term,
yes.
Does that correspond to like assuming that you're in a low enough dimension?
No, that's assuming that you are interested. The physics, the interesting physics will be in a domain where phi is small.
Why would phi be?
What?
Why is that a reasonable
assumption? It appears that I'm going to tell you when this approximation is true, this assumption.
Okay, then I have a second question. So,
well, truncation in physics is everywhere. You know, everywhere people, when they have complicated equation, they truncate them, and then they look whether the truncation was justified or not. In statistical mechanics, in turbulence, in plasma physics, everywhere there are truncations. In high energy physics, for instance, you have heard about the what's called the Schwinger-Dyson equation. Often they are truncated. You keep a finite class of diagrams and you hope or argue or prove that it's a good. Okay, so it's a truncation.
Okay, but I do have a second question.
We are not in math. We're doing math. But you can study this model, this equation for general V, and that's very interesting. And the mathematicians, well, physicists and mathematicians are doing that.
Okay. So, for the last renormalization scheme, you could see that we didn't have higher order terms when you're in a low enough dimension.
Yes.
Does the dimension play some role here too?
The dimension is going to play a role, but I think not as simple or what you state. Or maybe I've not understood what you state. But okay, we'll see. I'll describe that in 6 minutes. Okay. So I truncate at order phi to the 6. Yeah. So that's somehow justified. But. And of course, it means that you start from these 3 parameters. And the renormalization group equations gives you Ts, Gs, and Hs, the renormalized couplings. And you do the calculation, but then that's just algebra. I expand, I have this coefficient. So you compute, and what you get is the following renormalization group equation. I get S dds of Ts, which is, of course, is what I'll call the Wilson function for the parameter t. And this is 2t plus g minus tg, at that order of the truncation. I have s, well, ts, of course. So that's ts, gs, ts, gs. I get s dds of gs. So this is, of course, the function wg of ts. This is hs minus 3 gs squared. Minus THS. HS. Oh, and in this equation, I have not only normalized lambda, so that here I have 1, but I have normalized the field so that A is 1 also. So A is 1. That's the normalization that is possible. Otherwise, you have some other coefficient. You see, A is involves some pi, okay? And finally, I have that I have S d over ds of hs equal w h equal minus 2h minus 15 GSHS. Oh, and in addition, important, I'm sorry, this is a calculation performed in dimension 4. Okay, so I truncate at order 5, 6. I'm performing the calculation in dimension 4, but you can do it in any dimension. And I've set A to be 1 because you can renormalize the coupling so that it's going on. Okay, so you get those flows. Okay? Which are just explicit expression. And
this flow has the following feature. So we have flows in three, we have a flow in a three-dimensional space of couplings. We have T, the coupling, the phi 4 coupling, and the phi 6 coupling. And maybe if I have time, I can show them. Well, maybe not. I just draw some picture. Is it OK if I draw the picture here? No, you are not going to be happy. And here, you are not going to be happy, so I'm going to. So let me, well, I'm trying to make some picture. So we have a space where we have T, we have G, and somewhere in this direction towards you, you have H. Okay. Well, you see that there is this flow, there is a trivial fixed point, which is a fixed point where T equals H equals G. So you have a trivial. Which is the origin. 0, 0, 0. Here. Where. And 0, 0, 0 means that the potential is 0, so we are dealing with a free field. So this is a free field, massless free field. Okay. Now let's assume that only T is non-zero. So we have a massive free field. Then this is zero, this is zero, this is zero. So the renormalization group flow are like that along the line of T. So this line is, of course, the massive free field. And along a scale transformation, the mass becomes more and more important because simply you are looking at the system from larger and larger distances. So that's perfectly OK. So you have a line, line going out of the O. Now you may ask, if I am here, or if I am here, where do I flow? And it turns out that if you flow like that or you flow like that, depending on whether you are above or below a certain surface. So you have a surface of co-dimension 1. We have a surface, so think about this place as a surface. Well, it's a surface which is something like that, so it's. So you have a surface here which separates, that's called the critical surface, which separates. Up where Ts goes to plus infinity and down where Ts goes to minus infinity. And if you are on this surface, what's happening is that you flow towards the fixed point. On the surface,
flow towards the fixed point O. Okay. This drawing is perhaps not very good, but you have a surface here, and if you are above, you flow there, and if you are below, you flow there. And it's called a critical surface because it's going to describe a critical point in statistical mechanics. So that's why it's called critical. So this critical surface is the attractive manifold. So it's attractive. Domain of the fixed point. Okay. So now, so this is given by some bit complicated equation, but the surface is given by that's the fact that T for the critical surface is a function of G and H, which is not particularly interesting. Okay, so now let's see what's happening on the critical surface. So I'm going to show here G and H, and I assume that T is adjusted. So I'm looking at the critical surface from above. So I adjust T as a function of G and H, and then I have flow. I have just two function flow. And on this critical surface, you see, my potential is like that. So H has to be positive, otherwise the potential is not bounded from below. But G can be negative or positive. So there is a phi 6 term to stabilize the potential. And the flow is the following. Well, you see that then, well, T has been adjusted. So basically, you see that the variation of GS is in GS squared, while the variation in H is on minus 2H. So it means that H will decrease very fastly. So if you are somewhere here, S dds of g is in minus g squared, where S dds of h is minus 2h. So if g is small from the origin, g decreases slowly, because g squared is small, while h decreases fast, because it's minus h. So the flow are like that. And if h is 0 and g is not 0, you flow like that. So the flow are slow in g and fast in H. And in fact, if you start from this region where G is negative, it comes out that you go back in this region. So you are always attracted to this. You see? So for large S, only G is relevant. Because if you start from theory with a phi 6 term, the effective couplings or normalized coupling becomes very small. So, while it's slow. So, in the language of a normalization group, we mean that G is marginal, where H is irrelevant. If you are interested in large distance physics of the model, you can forget about H because it becomes zero very fast, while G becomes small but at a much, much lower rate. Okay? Of course, this is related to the fact that in four dimensions, the scaling dimension of G is zero, while the scaling dimension of H is, as we have seen, positive. So it's related to the fact that the phi 6 theory is non-renormalizable. Well, the fact that phi 4 is renormalizable. Okay. And finally, the coupling here, T, the mass term, is given by this. So S dds of T is plus 2T. So T is relevant. So this is a generic denomination. And that's because the dimension of the coupling is minus 2. So that's because the dimension of T is a length to the power minus 2. While the dimension of G is length to the power 0, and this is the dimension of H as a dimension plus 2, length plus 2. Okay. And well, tomorrow I will continue to discuss it a bit. I'm going to see the connection with the quantum field theory. But I can let me just state already that if I just look at the G term in the renormalization group flow, you get a minus 3. So this, the fact that the Wilson function of G is minus 3 G squared is in fact related to the fact that the beta function of G in the phi 4 theory is, remember, plus 3, well, and there was over 3 over 2 times 1 over 4 pi squared, phi to the 4. So this 3 is the same than the 3 here. So in fact, there is a deep relation between the Wilson functions and the beta function in normalization group theory. But I'm going to discuss that on Thursday. Yes?
So what we used for this is that equation of the flow for the potential.
Yes.
That we
have. Yes.
So when deriving that, we are assuming that our renormalization procedure is well defined, right?
Yes.
And that's why, as a result, the term that it's non-renormalizable has to turn, the renormalization flow turns that H off.
No, the renormalization group flow like that, it's not because the calculation makes sense. It's just a result of the calculation. You have other cases where the flow go otherwise.
But
and the calculation still will be inconsistent.
Okay, so starting with that, could we arrive to a result that an operator that makes the theory non-renormalizable is still relevant?
Yes, if you are attracted to a fixed point which is not close to the origin. You see, here the fixed point is close to the origin. So since it's close to the origin, basically all those engineering dimensions, these are the classical dimensions, describe the physics.
Yeah.
But if, and it turns out that if, for instance, you have you have a critical surface. Here is T, here is G, and here is H. And if you have a critical surface, but you are attracted to a non-trivial fixed point, which is at a distance of order one of the origin, then a coupling that may be, you know, irrelevant here,
yeah,
may become relevant here. So you have to do the full calculation. And in fact, that's what's happening in D less than four dimension for the 5-4 theory. And I think Pedro told you about the fact that there are the Ising model or there are non-trivial critical exponents, etc. In less than four dimensions, this theory is going to describe the Ising model in three dimensions, for instance. And it's this such a fixed point, which is non-trivial, so it's, you still have a Gaussian fixed point here, but it's unstable in one additional dimension. So here, in four dimensions, you are always attracted to the Gaussian fixed point. Here, you are repelled for the Gaussian fixed point. And that's a result of calculation. And it's an exercise to start from this, not set D equal 4, but D equal 3, study the flow, and that's going to be different. Well, I can discuss that next lecture.